I love to read the book of Acts, is all the Bible, but reading the book of Acts, it just kind of makes you want to have been there, to have seen those things, those great miracles. Of course, God's still a miracle working business. And when I read the Word of God, I try to take myself, put myself back in those days, wherever it was, whether it was at the cross, whether it was with Jeremiah when he was being ridiculed and hurt. What would I have done? How would I have acted? In the book of Acts, it's so rich in miracles and so rich in favor of God toward man. But then we'll look at the thought tonight of God's method for growth. Acts was surely a book of growth, church growth. Started out with just a few disciples at Pentecost, and then that great sermon by Peter, and the world started turning upside down. In fact, some of the religious crowd accused them of trying to turn the world upside down. Well, that's exactly what was happening. So we want to look at God's methods for growth. And it still works. God's methods for growth still works. He wants us to grow in grace and knowledge. He wants churches to grow. He wants people to get redeemed and saved by the grace of God because of Calvary. So we'll look at chapter 4, and we'll read verse 31. Chapter 4, the book of Acts, verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken, for they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that all the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. First thing we see when God uses the increase is getting people to forget about their possessions, what they have, what they own, the dreams they have for themselves, and look at Christ Jesus as the increase, the one that needs to be increased in their life and heart, and for everything else that they have to be null and void in comparison. It's not that things aren't important. You know, you need food, you need transportation, all these things. But we covet those things, and people seems like they live for those things. But this particular time, the people were praying. And when people start getting close to God, righteousness abounds. That's the first thing happens, and God wants to happen. When righteousness abounds, we read much, and if you watch the news media, they talk about the economy, and they put all kinds of measurements on the economy, and they compare it to yesteryear, and they predict and everything. And they're looking at the things of the world, but when righteousness is the goal, that's when God starts multiplying and growing our own life. When our desire is for him to live in our heart, and we should do right by him and for him, then righteousness abounds. And when righteousness abounds, God will grow us. He'll grow the church. People will pray. We've read the text of verse 31. They prayed. Verse 33. And with great power gave the apostles witness of a resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them. When people start getting the things of God on their mind and right living, right conversation, right goals, then God starts adding his favor. And God gives them great grace and great power. Oh, if the Church of Living God had that power of God like it once had. Well, it's still available. But we have to have the call in our life to seek after righteousness. That's what pleases God. And when we learn to please God, then God, oh, he is rich in grace and rich in mercy, but God wants to bestow it upon us. But we have to meet the condition. Righteousness will abound when we come God's way and we seek his face by prayer. And then the scripture says, we won't read all of it, but many of the priests, many of the leaders were obedient to the faith. Now, we know the word of God. And I'm afraid not everybody is obeying the word of God in truth and knowledge. But when we're obedient to thus saith the word of God, righteousness will abound in their life. God will add his great grace, great peace, and great power to us, and we will see the growth. Oh, it'll be recognizable in your life. You can't wait to get to the house of God. You can't wait to get a spare minute to open the Word of God. In fact, you will open the Word of God and let other things go undone when great grace is available for you and great power is upon you. Then righteousness abounds in your life and mine, and God grows us as individual. He grows us as a people. Now you say, well, that was yesterday, and that was yesteryear, and everything was going a lot better. You know, you look at the situation today, people have left their first love. Well, in those days, they had the religious crowd to deal with, the Jews, and they hated Christ. So we've always got those things. But when righteousness abounds and right living is the most important thing in your life, regardless of the wickedness of the world, it won't make any difference. It never has hindered the cause of Christ to any individual or any church wanting to grow if they would let Christ be supreme in their life, if they let their prayer life be the first goal of their life, and right living and others on their heart, not themselves, but not be selfish, not be greedy, but not us and therefore no more, but the world Christ died for. And when we start getting obedient to the faith and seeking after the lost, then great grace and great power will be on their life. Regardless, now we see in those days in chapter 12, the wickedness of the king. Oh, the king stretched forth his hand and killed James, the brother of John. But it doesn't make much difference to God about the weakness of a king. He's looking at individual growth. Oh, if you look at the life as a whole in Judea and Jerusalem during the book of Acts, wasn't a lot of things going for them. You know, the economy wasn't that good. Rome was over them. They couldn't go where they wanted to do what they wanted to do. The religious crowd reigned supreme. And yet, in the midst of it all, they had the desire to please God. Righteousness abounded in their life. God gave his grace. God gave his power. And God gave increase to the church, regardless of the king, regardless of the president, regardless of the Congress. Oh, how easy it is to make excuses if that were right. And if that situation were different, then God's church would grow. No, God's church will grow when you and I seek after righteousness. Not the world, and not the king, and not anybody else, but God is looking at his people. So in verse 12, and about that time hurried the king, stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church. If you seem to study the history of the church, it grew faster and better during oppression than it did any other time. And I know in my life and yours, certain things has happened. If you read the study of World War II and the church during that day, the soldier boys going to fight on foreign battlefield not knowing if they would come back home. And churches, father and mother, neighbors, they would congregate and they would go to the local church in these mountains. And I guess it was that way around the United States of America. I don't know. I just know what my forefathers told me. And they would set aside a day. Not just Wednesday night, not just Sunday night, but another day in the week, sometimes Saturday. And they would walk, although they didn't have cars. Not very many cars in those mountains around where I grew up in the 1940s. They would walk. They would leave their farms. They would leave everything else. And they would put their country first and those soldier boys first. And they would gather for prayer. Must have worked. God heard their prayers. Return most of them home. But then prosperity took over in America. And things started getting good. And people started forsaking truth and righteousness. And people stopped growing in grace and knowledge of God. And look where we are today. So sometimes when God allows all these things and other powers and other principalities to come against us, drives you on your knees. Not a bad thing. Closest to God is the key. The growth will come in your life and mine when we realize and whatever it takes to put God first and foremost in their life, to seek him and his righteousness And then all these other things will be added to you. We try to add things, and then if there's any place left for righteousness, it doesn't work like that. Never has worked like that. That's not God's method. So regardless of the weakness of the king, regardless of the wishes of the people. See, most of the people were, in that day, they were Jews there, and they were of the religious crowd, and they did not believe that Christ had died. They thought the apostles had stolen him away. They didn't believe he was resurrected. Even if they believed he died, they didn't believe he was resurrected. They wanted nothing to do with Christ Jesus. So regardless of the wishes of the people, regardless of the weakness of the king, God still added daily such as should be saved. All because they sought after righteousness, right living, prayer, fasting, seeking God. And some of them, we read in the book of Acts, tried to withhold glory from God. That didn't work out too good for Ananias and Sapphira, did it? They went out, and Ananias and Sapphira, they went out and sold us some possession and said, well, we'll just kind of renege, and we want to act righteous. We want to show the rest of them how good we are, so we'll sell our stuff, and we'll sell it for this price, but we'll tell them this price, and we'll go lay this much on the altar, and we'll keep the rest. Didn't work. God knew exactly. He knew their thoughts. He knew everything they was up to. They were trying to withhold glory from God. But regardless of that, God still added to the church daily. In fact, God told Peter what they were doing. Isn't it amazing that Peter was as much in on it and knew what was going on as Ananias and Sapphira did, because God told him. And God knows everything. He knows when they would do it, how they would do it. So God arranged it all. And they just kind of dropped dead. Burial that day, two of them, they drug them out. And then the number of disciples increased again because they saw, hey, this thing is serious. God's serious about this thing. You don't withhold glory from God and get by. The weakness of the king, it won't stop God from increasing. The wishes of the people, what they want, don't matter. It's that select individual, those group of people that wants to follow God and seek his face and get right with him and let his righteousness abound in their heart by prayer, by seeking him, by fasting, that's when God increases the church. The results. Results were so wonderful because God knew what it would take. You see, God could have prevented James from being slain. And you can't go and start trying to figure that out either. Well, he was that great disciple, son of thunder, he and his brother were. And yet God permitted. Could God have stopped it? Sure he could. God can do anything. I had a friend one time, and their brother got killed, probably poisoned by the wife, but the law kindly covered it up. And this individual, a good friend of mine, got mad at God. Said, God could have stopped that wife from poisoning my brother. He could. Well, why didn't he? I'm mad at him. Well, could God have stopped Cain from killing Abel? Sure. Could God have kept 9/11 from happening? Sure. God can do anything he wants to, but you can't judge it that way. You have to judge it by God is holy, God is righteous, God is right. His ways were past finding out. And when bad things happen like this, you don't go blaming God. Get bitter if you want to. You'll never grow. It'll ruin you as an individual. I hope, I pray that I never get the place. The Bible says, he that thinketh he stand, take heed lest he fall. I'm not going to say I'm not going to do a certain thing because the devil will ride me and put a lot of pressure on you, I know. But I hope and pray that I never get to the place where I accuse God or even think. So far, I've not even thought in my mind. It's not entered into my mind that God hasn't done right about anything and everything. James, the brother of John, was slain because God told him. Now, you go out and preach in Jerusalem, and then you go to other parts of the world. Revival started breaking loose in Jerusalem, and nobody wanted to leave. Everything was going really good in the church. Crowds were added. Number of disciples increased. And they had to do all these great things, a great building program going on. And they kindly forgot the second part beginning in Jerusalem and going to other remote parts of the world. But God knew how to get them scattered. He allowed James to be beheaded. Now they realize, hey, if we don't get away from here, we might be next. See, God knows what he's doing, and you can't figure him out, nor should you try to figure him out. God has done right. The results are that everything that happened in the book of Acts was God's in control. And God's still in control. He has not relinquished control of this universe or this world for any people. Not the Baptists or Methodists or no religion, no person, no power. God is in control. All powers are ordained of him. You just believe his word that God's in control. He said in the last days there'll be a falling away. And there is in general. But he didn't say it had to be with you. And he didn't say it had to be with me. Because we can be that individual or that church, if we so choose, of seeking God by right living, by seeking after righteousness, by praying and seeking his face, regardless of the wish of the people, regardless of the weakness of the king, or regardless of anything else that comes or goes, it doesn't matter. Just because in general it's happening doesn't mean it has to happen to you nor to me. God still gives us the opportunity to serve him, to praise him, and God can still bring results for any person, any church, any family that is dedicated and abides by the methods God wants us to use to increase us. Look at verse 12, or chapter 12. We're going to go down a little bit. We're going to read verse 10. And when they were past the first and second ward, they came to the iron gate that leads into the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. So they thought, if we lock Peter up and if we put him in jail, this will kind of quieten the crowd down. It'll stop the growth. And Satan right now is surveying you and me and the church of living God, our church, any church that wants to grow. And he's got it planned on how he can kind of quiet us down, keep you from praying. I hate to say it, but he's been pretty successful in all those regards. Shame on us for allowing him to. Three times the Word of God says that we should not be ignorant of his devices. And we are not ignorant of what Satan is up to. He tries to let things occur in our life. Maybe somebody doesn't speak to you. Maybe somebody doesn't treat you right. All these things that get brother against brother, or, boy, they didn't treat me right. I won't talk to them. I won't pray for them. Oh, no, no. Boy, if he can sow discord among the brethren, he's well on his way to defeating our growth. Because we cannot have aught against our brother and grow in the grace and knowledge of God. And yet, Satan has done that. And so Satan comes against the church and says, well, we'll behead James. And the church was still praying, probably more than they ever had prayed, all night prayer meeting. They said, well, we'll put old Peter in jail, and then if it hadn't been for the Passover, they would have slain him right then. At least they thought they would, but God had other plans. Now the church is praying. What did it take to make the church pray that night, casting Peter in jail? See, Satan had the plan, but God's got his plan on allowing him to be cast in jail so the people would pray. And then we had this report, how the angel came down and said, Peter, stand up. You're all locked up, son. You don't need to be locked up in chain. I freed you. I set you free. Now, that was a spiritual thing, but I'm going to set you free from your shackles too. Stand up. Peter could have looked in there. He was kind of asleep in the slumber. He didn't really understand all that was going on. Thought it was kind of a dream. And he could have said, well, how can I stand up? I'm in shackles. But the voice came, stand up. You don't look at circumstances. You just start going for the glory of God. That's what's wrong with a lot of us. We look at circumstances. I would do that, but there's that hindering cause. Well, if God says do it, by the time you get to where the hindering cause is, he'll have that removed. But if you wait for him to remove it before you get started, you'll probably never get started. That's faith. Now we read the accord where Peter's going out, and There's still an obstacle. First of all, there was all those guards. Well, they were, God put them to sleep. The chains fell loose. And now there's this big old gate. But God just opened it of his own accord. Isn't that amazing? Well, God created the world. He just spoke it into existence. Trees, so what came first, the acorn or the tree? The tree came first. Any other way, you'd believe in evolution. God created everything and let the trees bear nuts and everything produce fruit. And God wants to produce fruit in your life and mine. And we look at circumstances a lot of times. But let's keep reading in chapter 12, verse 12. Or verse 11. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, "Now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel." See, sometimes God lets things happen so fast that you don't understand it. Here Peter is in jail, all kinds of guards around, him in chains. Next thing you know, he's outside the jail. The gates open and he's free to go back and preach and proclaim and help people again. And he seemingly didn't even know what's going on. You don't have to know much. You just have to know him who knows everything and be willing to be in subjection. I don't see Peter in there. There's no account that he's in there wailing and praying, "Oh God, I was in jail before and I preached your gospel. See what I get for serving you." Wasn't like that. He went to sleep. Seems to me like he pretty well knew that, hey, this jail's a circumstance. God can jailbreak me anytime he wants to. Paul and Silas in prison that night for preaching the gospel and obeying God, stripes upon them. They could have said one to another, "We should never have come here. I knew God wouldn't be with us." Not what they did. They started singing at midnight. See, we let circumstances hinder us. Sometimes it's a simple little thing, some person. Good person they may be, but they've said something, done something, and you think you're hurting them and not speaking to them? Not nearly as bad as you're hurting yourself, because you won't grow. You won't grow in grace and knowledge. The church won't grow. You're hindering the growth of the church with that kind of an attitude. The church was in one accord, and God started blessing them. Let's keep reading. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, "Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectations of the people of the Jews." Satan, through religion crowd, had all the expectations. No doubt they had all planned, one by one. James first, Peter second, who would be next. But see, their plans were changed because great grace, great power was upon them. Why? Because they want to live a righteous life, please God. And when you do that, God will extend his grace and his mercy, and we will grow in grace and knowledge. Lost people will get saved. It's all about trusting him for everything. One other verse, and we'll be closing. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. Boy, that must have been a prayer meeting. I can almost hear it now. You gather outside the house and through the walls, you hear prayers echoing out to God. Peter might have said, "Boy, it's worth going to jail just to hear these people cry out to God." I wonder what it would take to get you and I. We've done it before. That can be personal. I remember when little Sawyer was up in Ann Arbor, and they wouldn't mind me saying this, and his heart was taken out and operated on, put back in. It wasn't starting to beat. Many of you, I was up there with the family. Many of you gathered right here praying. Probably wouldn't have done that had little Sawyer not done that. God uses things. The question is, are we usable? That did so much for our church, drawing together. Little Sawyer was such a blessing, still a blessing. And God has used things, events, to draw us close to him. At that time, all the people gathered here, I don't know who and all it was, probably a lot. People were praying all around. Other churches was praying. Nobody was probably saying what somebody said or didn't say or how they'd acted. Didn't matter. God honors. And then little Sawyer's heart started clicking. Isn't that wonderful? Thank God, thank God, thank God. He is in control. And I wonder now if we'll just trust him and let him grow us the way he wants to, so we can reach Fletcher and reach our neighbors, our friends, to get them saved. It would amaze you how many of us individually could sit down and, if given time, write down all the people we know that's lost. We don't know exactly they're lost, but you probably figure they are. Sure not steadfast, unmovable, that's for sure. And just write down and pray for them. God's trust us to do that and to be unceasing in their prayer life and to live godly in this present world where God can see that we're sincere with him. He can see that our dedication is for a heart that pleases him and for righteousness, right living, right thinking, right treating our neighbor and treating the church right. God is looking for us to do that, and then he'll add great power and great grace. You say, why do they only add it first? That's not what his method is. His method is when we do it. The book of Acts is clear. They sought after him, and then he rewarded them with great power and great grace. No other way. And if we want to be lax, if we want to let the world die and go to hell, that would be possible. How awful it will be. Why can we not just get a burden for the lost individually? I'll tell you how it comes. It comes through the reading of God's word. There's something about reading his word. He just gigs your heart and puts that adoration in there for him and puts a zeal in your heart. You can't wait to read. You can't wait to pray. You can't wait to witness to somebody. Rather than being relaxed in Zion, we could be soul winners with God's power and grace upon us, growing. You say, well, we're adding to the number. Well, I'm not sure the number is that important. It's substance that matters. God looks at the heart. It's good to be growing in number. I'm not chastising us, but God looks at the heart. Or are we growing in love for a fellow man, in love with him, in love for his word, in righteousness, not self-righteous, no. Righteousness, right living, right prayer, right meditation. Would you stand in that, your head's bound? Whatever your needs are in that, God will surely honor that.